Recess and come back into regular session, or executive session, I'm sorry.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley?
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunebaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Adams?
Mr. President, council discussed the items on the agenda, and there are no matters to be acted on at this time.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Now is the time for our public hearings.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I will now read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the matter requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant. After that, the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to the county clerk and it will be made part of the record. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there is no background noise or discussions. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing of each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendation to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following the commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, at my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, texts, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. Mr. President, we have currently 3 public hearings on the schedule today. The first hearing is conditional use number 2465. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a borrow pit and sand plant site to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 107.5 acres more or less. The property is lying on the southwest side of Hunter's Cove Road, which is Sussex County Route 602, approximately 0.43 miles southeast of Owens Road, which is Sussex County Route 611. The 911 address is not available and the tax parcel ID is District 430, Map 9, Parcel 21.0. 01. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet and materials, a copy of the applicant's wetland delineation report, we have a copy of the property deed, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. I would also note that we have one comment submitted into the record. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of July 22nd of this year, and at the meeting of August 5th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 9 reasons of approval and subject to the 18 recommended conditions of approval as outlined by the Commission. And Mr. President, within your paperless packet, there's a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Laura.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Hudson, Council Members, Mr. Adams, Director Whitehouse, Ms. Torbert, and members of the public. My name's Mackenzie Sindelar, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Fox Rothschild with an office in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm here on behalf of my client, Sussex Materials, LLC, the applicant seeking a conditional use of land for a burrow pit and sand plant site within an AR1 agricultural residential district. Mr. RJ Andrews and Mr. Kenneth Webb, members of the applicant, are present this afternoon along with Jamie Seckler, PE with Davis Bowen and Friedel, and the applicant's engineer. The applicant is also the property owner of the subject property for which the conditional use is proposed, located on the southwest side of Hunters Cove Road, Sussex County Road 602, southeast of Owens Road, Sussex County Road 611, identified as Sussex County Tax Parcel Number 430-9-21.01, consisting of approximately 103.25 acres. As Director Whitehouse explained and the memorandum from the director to council memorializes, the applicant appeared before the commission on July 22nd, 2026. At its August 5th meeting, the commission recommended approval of its application by a vote of 4-0, with Commissioner Collins absent from that meeting and therefore the vote. The applicant has reviewed the minutes and 18 recommended conditions that were found in Director Whitehouse's memo to council, finding all recommended conditions acceptable. Incorporating the oral and written record below, including but not limited to the Planning and Zoning Office's August 7, 2026 memo to council, which sets forth the minutes of the July 22nd and August 5, 2026 commission meetings, the applicant respectfully requests council's approval of its conditional use application for a burrow pit for the 9 reasons of approval and subject to the 18 recommended conditions. Before addressing any questions that you may have, I also wanted to point out that the acreage advertised in the public notice at approximately 107 acres is now approximately 103.25 acres, as I said, which is the result of a subdivision of a few residential lots along Hunters Cove Road from the larger track while this application was pending public hearings. So with that, I'll conclude my presentation and welcome any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Does council have any questions?
Were you happy with the conditions placed on it by P&Z?
Yes, we were.
Don't think we have any questions.
Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of the application? In favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to the application? In opposition to the application? Seeing none, operator, can you check remotely to see if there is anyone who would like to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter if council desires to close the public record.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing, close the public record. Okay.
Is this you? Yeah, no.
Okay.
Read the short title.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Adams, would you please give us a short title?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a borrow pit and sand plant site to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 107.517 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning, numbered 1 through 9, and conditions 10A through R.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Karen, second. Mr. Riley, are there any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Based upon the recommendation of Planning and Zoning, the testimony I heard today, and the only correspondence we had was 5 letters in favor of, I vote yes.
Okay. Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the recommendation by Planning and Zoning and the testimony heard today, I vote yes.
Okay. Ms. Grunebaum. Mr. Ryan.
I also vote yes based on Planning and Zoning's recommendation.
I also agree with Planning and Zoning. I vote yes. Motion carried. Okay, next.
The next matter, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2569. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land, lying and being in Sussex County, containing 45.57 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the east and west sides of Norwood Lane, approximately 950 feet southwest of Oak Orchard Road, which is Route 5. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 29, Parcel 220.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of the applicant's presentation materials and exhibits. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's revised exhibit booklet, a copy of a noise study, a copy of the staff analysis report, a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter, and a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. And I would note that there are 11 written comments included in your paperless packet. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of July 15th of this year, and at the meeting of July 22nd of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the application for the 9 reasons for approval as stated in the motion, and subject to the 10 recommended conditions of approval as outlined in the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion, along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings, is included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
We're still on. Good afternoon. Pleasure to be here. My name is John Falkowski, a civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group. I'm here today with Mr. John Shields, a project manager with Pivot Energy, and Ted Hastings, also a civil designer with Becker Morgan Group. I'd like to bring, while the application presentation comes up, I'd like to bring John up just to give you a brief intro to Pivot Energy and who they are, and he'll then turn it back over to me to go over project details.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is John Shields. I'm with Pivot Energy. We are an independent power producer based in Denver, Colorado, with an office also a little more closer to home here in Elk Ridge, Maryland. Thanks for your time this afternoon. Happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Touch your hand here. All right. So this is a project located east of Millsboro off of a private lane, Norwood Lane, actually, not Norwood Drive there. This property is zoned GR, General Residential. As you can see, it's an existing agricultural use. And several of the areas are listed out there before you. You have the overall parcel area, which is shown in the bluish line. That's 45.57 acres. The conditional use area is much smaller, shown in the magenta dash line of 16.64. And then the array area itself is just over 15 acres, shown in green. That would be the fenced area for the array. You can see the surrounding area is mostly residential to the north. The northwest is the Patriots Glen subdivision. Now this area is a little dated. Phase one of Patriots Glen, where my mouse cursor is to the west, that's almost fully built out. I believe it is built out at this point. And then to the north here is phase two of Patriots Glen, and that is currently under construction. They're selling homes, and they've been doing bulk earthwork. There's a stormwater management pond that they've constructed in this open space here, and they're actively building out that facility. So I just wanted to make that clear. This is an older aerial that we were able to obtain. This is a graphical representation of the site plan that was submitted. So you can see the array located here in the center at the 15 acres. The project will take access off of the Norwood Lane. That'll be a 16-foot wide gravel road that you been accustomed to, that leads into the facility. And I'll go over this in a minute. I'll show you the original site plan. This was one of the modifications that was made to the site plan after a community hearing that was held. The inverters and the road were a little bit, they were centrally located east-west, but they weren't really centrally located north-south, so that was one of the residents' concerns, and so we did relocate those inverters, as you see here in the middle of the site, and you would have a gravel road that would access through the perimeter fence that has the Knox box for the fire company, as well as a turnaround for all their apparatus to turn around once they're in. So the project does have a landscape buffer around the complete perimeter. This has been modified from the original. This is still the 30-foot wide landscape buffer, but it does have the inversed composition of species where it's 70% evergreen and 30% deciduous. So it's a flip from the residential buffer, and that had been approved recently by council here on a few projects. We would propose to use similar. You can see the green line here, that would be the fencing, and I have a slide, next slide. But this was the original site plan, just for reference. It was an older site plan with the inverters located to the north. You can see where they're located there now. This is the fencing detail with the mesh screening that you've seen. This is a 7-foot tall knot wire fence that's been beefed up to handle a mesh privacy screening on it, and so that would be applied around the entire perimeter. And just to go back, one thing that we don't graphically show on this site plan, but as part of the Patriots Glen subdivision, their final site plan requirements were to also provide a 30-foot landscape buffer on their side. And so what you have on the north side is there a minimum of a 30-foot buffer, but as you can see, this is all open space. It's a stormwater management area and open space. And so at a minimum, they provide a 30-foot, but it goes all the way to almost 280-foot of separation from the lots to the property. One thing to point on, too, there's a red line you can see here. There's a radius. That's your 200-foot radius from the ordinance. And because there's no homes built on these lots to provide a 200-foot buffer from the dwelling unit, we've provided that 200 feet from the building restriction line. So the homes aren't going to obviously be constructed to that building restriction line, so we're a little bit more conservative than 200.
Yeah, that was a question I had, whether it was going to be, because you don't know where the houses are.
Right.
Because they're not there yet.
Right. We don't know the size. We don't know how big they are, so yeah. We went most conservative, and we went up to the building restriction line, and the 200-foot radius is drawn from all lots there. Forgot to touch on that. I mean, you can see some additional buffering along the west side, too. I mean, the red is the 200 feet. So overall, you have a minimum of a 30-foot on their side. You have a 20-foot gap in between that will give the property owner access to the rear so that he can maintain the back section that's outside of the lease area. That will just be planted with grass or meadow. But there is an access way in between the two. So you'll have their buffer, a small gap, and then our buffer of 30 feet.
And that will be maintained, that area?
By the property.
Between the fence and the property line?
Yes. So significant buffering throughout, really around the whole perimeter, but especially on the north and the west sides here. Fencing. This is just a rendering. You've seen something similar in the past, but this is related to condition 10C. This shows some of the evergreen growth at different years. Now, Planning Commission, one of the things we were going to ask today was one of the conditions was to leave the mesh screening on for a period of 10 years. One of the most recent decisions, it was discussed that could be 5 years and was approved with a 5-year. So if, with your consideration, we would request a similar time frame. Based on this graphic shown here, this is just a graphical representation. You can see the mesh screening in the back. And with this composition mix of evergreens starting at a 6-foot height, we believe after 5 years, you would have significant growth there and the mesh, privacy mesh, would no longer be needed.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
If the trees don't survive, is there
they'll be replaced. Yes. Yes. It's just the 30 feet, but they're spaced enough to give that survival rate. They're not jammed up on top of each other so close that it would be a problem. I've not heard of that buffer zone, but there is a 20-foot. Gotcha. Yep, so we do. So we do have 50 really all around it.
You have at least
we're not showing it here, so we have at least 50, you know, because we have the 30, and then we do have the 20-foot that I referred to as an access way, but that would also be that protected area that's not planted. Correct, it's not planted, it would be grassed, yes. It'll be a grassed area that is 20 feet. So to answer your question, we do have an additional 20 feet all the way around the buffer. Mm-hmm. That would just be grassed area.
Okay.
So that was the representation shown here at planting at year five, and you can almost barely see the privacy mesh, and then certainly at year 10, it's growing.
I'm almost certain that won't be 5 years.
The intent is to replace any dead trees. Yeah, they wouldn't leave all the trees that don't survive. The intention would be to replace any trees that don't live. Noise was a concern of some of the residents, so there is a noise study in your packet that was submitted. It's several hundred feet from the neighboring property, above and beyond the 200, and the inverters are moved centrally located so that the noise, the decibels at the property line are mid-20s to low-30s, which is a quiet room. And that study doesn't take into account any of the screening, the landscaping, or anything like that. It assumes an inverter, inverters in the middle of the field. So these are all the conditions. I won't go over all of these. Just that we did have a community meeting. It was at Grotto's on 5/21. We do agree with all of the conditions set forth in the Planning Commission, except we do request potentially that condition 10C be modified from 10-year to 5-year. And then I just wanted to, do you have a question? No cost really, because the cost is really up front. The benefit we think is for long-term maintenance. So these haven't been in the ground long enough to know their life cycle. We think it's about 10 years, 15 years. It could stay up the whole life, but we think, we've been seeing issues with wind pulling some off, and it's a long-term constant maintenance.
Well, the grommets around where they're attached to the fence,
yes,
they start to tear.
Yeah, so we've beefed up the fence detail that we submit with the final site plans. We have taken into consideration some of the wind concerns and the flapping, where we've upgraded from, they like to do plastic zip ties to hold it on. We've specified stainless steel fasteners, tension wire, and some beefed up posts so that the fabric really stays on. But after 10 years, there could be some ripping and tearing. So it's really not needed, especially after 10, but we believe 5.
Okay. And you're going to request that gets moved to 5 instead of 10, because it's the last sentence in 10C.
That would be our request to modify 10C, okay. Correct.
I'm just curious, is the landowner here by chance?
He is, yep.
Is this one of those scenarios, we've heard recent ones where in an effort to save the farm, as it were, they're opting for solar as a means for income as opposed to farming it anymore, is that?
Certainly, and that's the case here, and I believe he plans to speak to that after me, but during Planning Commission, his testimony was just that this, you'll hear how long this farm has been in the family and surrounding families, and the intent is not to build something permanent and long-term here, that a solar use is essentially temporary, a 25-year lease that can then be returned back to the farmland and kept in the family. So I don't want to steal all his thunder, but that was the testimony he gave at the Planning Commission hearing. And this is just a brief summary of the interconnection process and status. That's a question often brought up here, is how far along are we in the interconnection process? The study has been completed, the cost identified, and even a 50% deposit on those costs have been put down. So if following, if we get, we're able to get plan approval here today and go through the agency approvals, timing should line up just nice. And again, these are a summary here, but these are captured in the conditions, so I won't rehash those. Happy to take any questions.
I have one. When it comes to the gate and the locking of that gate, is that some kind of electrical, or I mean some kind of combination lock or something, or how does that work?
It's typically a combo lock or a key backup, and then we'll have a Knox box at the gate for emergency.
All right, that's all I have. Anybody else?
The only thing I was going to mention is last 2 weeks ago we had an application, and the point came out that there was a problem with Johnson grass and noxious weeds growing on that property and working their way over to the neighboring farmer's land. So they agreed to be sure to control noxious weeds on the land where the solar array is sited. So I personally think that might be something we want to consider as a regular condition.
I think so too.
Be good neighbors. Because Johnson grass, once you get it in, it's hard to get out, and you know, a nuisance to the farmer next to you.
Yep, it is it's a meadow mix that is developed by an Ernst Seed Company, if you're familiar. They do have a meadow grass mix they call Fuzz and Buzz, and it's got different, it's got a lot of native species in it, but it does have some that
Johnson
could
grass
get loose.
Not native. Right, that one's not. With the wind or who knows where it comes from, but.
Right. Yeah. And I believe that particular application, they agreed to a vegetative maintenance plan for what would happen if those things took place, and you know, if they needed to be treated, we would be okay with a similar condition.
Okay, anybody else?
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there anyone who would like to speak in favor of the application?
Grody. I live in Seaford, Delaware. My daughter works at Beebe and lives in Longneck, lives in a Millsboro address. One of the things this will alleviate is the traffic that she fights every time she goes from Morris Mill Road to Beebe Hospital to work, and that her husband fights when he goes from Millsboro to Seaford to work. They're both nurses. He's a nurse practitioner. She's an orthopedic surgery nurse studying to be a nurse practitioner. She grew up in Seaford. I'm a transplant. But I was lucky. I got a passport because I married a girl from Blades who wouldn't move.
We'll let you in.
Thank you. The solar panels are actually environmentally an aid to the county. Electromagnetic energy comes from the sun. If it hits the earth or anything on the earth, it changes to heat. Part we see is called visible light, but there's a lot of other energy. Some of that heat is reduced by the fact that this electromagnetic energy is changed into electricity, which powers our air conditioners and heat down there, as well as other utilities. The grass that was just explained to you, the meadow grass, is actually will contribute to biodiversity, not to a reduction in wildlife, because it is good for pollinators such as bees and butterflies. And the bees in this county are in trouble. We've had a reduction. And if Mr. Quillen and Seifer quits, we'll have much fewer bees, and we need someone to step in and replace it. There was a question about farming it. It's a 45-acre farm. Only 15.22 acres is going to be in the panels. That income will allow the Native American who owns it, the Nanticoke who owns it, to continue to farm the rest of the acreage, and that's his intent. He lives there. He lives right near where the solar panels would be. Solar panels have no carbon footprint. They don't contribute to more traffic on our roads or other burdens on the rest of our infrastructure. Solar panels will not increase traffic. Solar panels do not create a lot of noise. There is a little bit of noise associated with it, but that's during the daytime because the panels follow the sun. But there's no noise after the sun sets and no noise before the sun rises. Now, there was a question about low-income housing at the planning and zoning hearing. If you look at the list of the people who own in the development bordering, you can tell that if this property were developed for living, it's not going to be for people, it's not going to be for affordable housing. The people who signed the protest are from Hungary, Haiti, Sweden, Spain, Italy, Brazil, England, Mexico, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, North Carolina, Louisiana, Florida, Virginia, California, Maryland, New York, Ohio, Tennessee, England, and Hawaii. And the lead speaker at the planning and zoning hearing owns two houses in there, and she lives somewhere else. She lives in New Jersey. This is not an issue about affordable housing. It is an environmental issue because this will help the environment. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in favor of the application?
Yeah, part of my notes. Good afternoon. My name is Elgis Johnson. I'm the property owner of 27742 Norwood Lane, Millsburn. Some of this has already been over with, so I'm not going to repeat it. This land has been in our family for several generations, used for agricultural farmland, planting soybeans and corn a long time before the surrounding developments came about, River Winds, Oak Meadows, now Patriots Glen. I have no intentions of selling it, so I wanted to utilize this land with other options. So I was considering, Sussex County, and I was considering a pig farm, chicken houses, or even a mobile home park. So, but a solar farm would be my choice. It would be more beneficial for me and my family and to preserve the farmland for future generations. The solar farm process started about 2 to 3 years ago and is constructed. And before the home was constructed in Patriots Glen. So this takes a long process. And this property was previously owned by my family members. It took a long time to process everything, approve, and then put on a planning and zoning agenda that took approximately 10 months to get a hearing. I know it takes a while because a lot of stuff's going on in Sussex County. A lot of the land in Oakhart area back in the day was owned by Native Americans, which was one of them was Nanticoke Indian tribe, including my property, family land. So we want to hold on to our land for future generations, no developments, mainly keeping it farmland. We don't want to lose our heritage and culture. The farmland is leased out to a local farmer who puts crops yearly. I'm a member also of the Farm Bureau. New housing development decisions approval are affecting surrounding properties. And like I said, I got down here where the petition was posted by the neighbors. And mainly, I counted the houses. There's only like 12 houses that really is concerns what it could be with a solar farm going at. And it's, I think it's over between 100 and 200 houses altogether between the phase one and phase two. But really, they're saying that when they come out their backyard, their view is blocked. But they're already blocked because when they walk out, they get houses on both sides and around. So that one, and then they have buffer trees there too. So they would grow up. So, and if I decided to sell the land, they're going to have a blockage anyway by it. Most likely a developer will buy it. So then, that would be blocked anyway, so I don't see what the reason why the petition was even going on, especially with people out of state, out of country, which Mr. McGrody already said. And seems like sometimes the new residents in the development have more say, input, than the residents that have been there for a lifetime and for generations. New residents should be checked out, check out the surrounding areas of Patriot Glen before purchasing a home. And also, Governor Matt Maher last month accepted, it's called a Dell Job First, permitting the acceleration to promote community solar farms. And I'm considering applying for this program to assist me and Pivot Energy. And that's about all I have, but with your approval, this community solar farm would benefit me and my family and Delmarva Power customers by reducing their energy bill of local households and the community. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, are there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone who'd like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check remotely to see if there is anyone who would like to comment?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time we can close the public hearing on this matter if council desires to close the public record.
It's okay, but council will close the public hearing, close the public record. Yes, thank you.
And it's my understanding that there's an amendment?
That's correct. Okay, Mr. Riley?
We're going to make a motion to reduce the time that the screening on the fences needs to be in place from 10 years to 5 years.
There's a motion to, it's in condition 10C. It's the very last sentence. It says the privacy fence or privacy screening may be removed after 10 years from the installation of the solar array, and the fencing shall remain. Okay, so we would change that from 10 years to 5 years. And that is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the amendment? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
The amendment.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunewald.
I don't see. Will not all survive, and therefore.
Okay, Mr. Riley.
Yes.
And I vote yes on the amendment. Motion carried. Okay, Mr. Adams, I think we're ready for the short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR General Residential District for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 45.57 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 9 and conditions 10A through J as amended by council.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
I vote yes based upon the recommendation of planning and zoning and the testimony heard today.
Okay, as amended?
As amended.
Okay, Mr. Lloyd.
I'm really glad to see that this solar array and this farm is going to stay in the family, so I really appreciate the testimony of the landowner. And with that, I'm going to vote yes based on the testimony heard today and the recommendation by planning and zoning.
Okay, Ms. Grunewald.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and the testimony.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendation and testimony heard today.
Okay, I also agree with planning and zoning. I vote yes as amended. Motion carried. Okay, that's it, isn't it?
I believe it a motion to reschedule, or
I don't know. Do we need to reschedule the one we canceled? That was in the agenda.
So, as was announced at the start of the meeting today, we have received a request in relation to change of zone number 2061 to reschedule the County Council public hearing for that. We've spoken with the applicant. We believe we can reschedule it for October 27th. We will renotice it. It would help to have a motion from Council to just. Yeah.
Okay, you said October 27th?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, entertain a motion to defer this until October 27th.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd. I'm sorry, change the zone number 2061. Sorry.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd?
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote.
I do have a question. Sorry, yeah. That date, we want to October, or is that the right date?
I think that's what Mr. Whitehouse said.
There are two council dates where we have available space to accommodate a public hearing that large. So we couldn't just tack it on to another meeting because we've scheduled that far out. It's either the beginning of September, which is very, very close for noticing purposes, or the next available gap that I can see is October 27th because of other commitments that we have in the queue. So,
okay.
Okay. We have a vote. We start on Mr. McCarron.
So I vote to defer till October 27th.
Okay.
So do I.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Gornabell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Motion. I vote yes. Motion carried to defer to October 27th. Okay. We will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. McCarron?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions? And then we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Gornabell?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.